At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side, your Sleep Number setting. And now, during our Veterans Day sale, save 40% on the Sleep Number Special Edition smart bed, plus free home delivery with any base. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to the Mile High Huddle podcast with your football priests, Chad Jensen and Zach Kelberman. Remember, Broncos country is not a geographic location. It's a state of being.
Welcome, everybody. It is the Mile High Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Chad Jensen, and it's the aftermath, baby. The aftermath episode with me, as always, my fellow football priest. You know him, you love him, Zach Kelberman. Zach, the hormones. I'll speak for myself. Much of the hormones from yesterday's wild ride in Seattle kind of burned off. You know, I metabolized those bad boys. It's gone. I would like to think I'm seeing things perhaps a little bit more clearly today. That's part of the joy of the gut reaction. It's the gut reaction. You're just rolling. But how are you feeling now, a day removed from the Broncos falling in Seattle 26-20 and Bo Nix not exactly looking like we all hoped he would?
Well, I mean, I kind of echo what you're saying. I didn't go too far off the reservation in either direction yesterday. I wasn't calling for Sean Payton's head, and I also wasn't thinking that Bo Nix was without fault either, Chad. It's the reality of starting a rookie quarterback. It's the reality of playing in Seattle week one. It's a tough matchup. It's the NFL. It's the way it goes. And like I said yesterday, half of the NFL after 1 week is 0-1, just like the Broncos are. It's a long season, and 2024 – and I've had the stance, and I will have the stance, win or lose. It's about Bo Nix's development, not necessarily the Broncos' record.
Dude, how about, we can go through some of the specific things, but how about Sean Payton, not only in the immediate aftermath of the game, post-game, at the podium, Lumen Field, but today in a conference call, unflinchingly, vociferously, not only defending Bo Nix, but saying he played well. He gave us a chance to win the game. In many ways, kind of blaming everybody else for not stepping up for Bo Nix, which last night, Zach, we were lamenting that the lack of playmakers, right? The lack of playmaking. We were lamenting the consistent pressure that was being given up. And then, of course, we lamented the defense springing leaks from in the third quarter that allowed the Seahawks to arrest the Broncos' momentum, completely control it from then on out. What do you make of that? Do you think Sean Payton, you know, he just knows more than what we know? How do you view that, what his defense of Bo Nix? Because a lot of people, just basing off what I've seen on social media, comments, people reaching out to me, they're like, yo, what's Sean Payton smoking? That dude sucked yesterday.
Yeah, I think BK nailed it in the chat. He said, "Of coach talk, of course he's going to defend Bo. He handpicked him. It's the truth. I mean, he's his guy. And as Bo goes, so does Sean Payton and his reputation. And we all know, Chad, Sean Payton's pride, Sean Payton's ego can fill this room I'm in. But to say he wasn't jittery, to say that everyone else, he said the offensive line, the protection was average at best, Chad. He talked about the receivers. He went up to them and said, please, let's help this guy. He even talked about himself not being good enough. So you're right. Sean Payton pointed the finger in every direction except at number 10. And I can't say I'm surprised knowing Sean Payton.
It's true. His fate now as a head coach will be inexorably linked to that of Bo Nix. So in the pure interest, BK, of self-interest, he's going to posture his rookie in a certain way. But to me, Zach, what he said yesterday at the podium, then what he doubled down on today on the conference call, goes a little bit beyond that. You know, he obviously to me was like, yo, what's up, O-line? Average at best. And our playmakers, he was really focused on the drops early. He's like, hey, we bounced back from the drops, but our guys were dropping passes on Bo Nix. He's talking about that he walked up to the receivers on the bench and was like, hey, let's go. Let's help our guy. So very interesting kind of politics developing here, PR politics, that is, around the Peyton Nix thing. Those two really need a good game. And I thought it was interesting, Scott, real fast, dude, before we grab Sambam. Scott said to us, maybe it was during the stream yesterday, might have been after, but he's like, you guys thought that Seattle defense was ridiculous? I mean, the Pittsburgh defense is even better. And I watched a good chunk of the Steelers-Falcons game yesterday, Zach, and yeah, they're legit. Sean Payton said that today, Scott. I don't know if you caught that, but he goes, yeah, no disrespect to the Seahawks, but the Steelers are an even better defense, Zach. So buckle up, y'all.
TJ Watt is better than anyone the Seahawks have combined. Scott's right. It's going to be a tough test, especially with Garrett Bowles. We'll get into that, Jed. Garrett Bowles a little banged up. He should play, but he maybe won't be at 100%. It's going to be a tough test. It's going to be a sloppy, low-scoring game for sure, just like week one.
Sam Bam, my brother, thank you for the super chat. He says, evening, guys. Tough game yesterday, but I think the Broncos will bounce back and beat Pittsburgh. Also, it's obvious the Broncos still have a lot of roster needs to fill. Run defense was trash, I thought. Go Broncos. It was especially trash in the third quarter. That's really where it just, I mean, not only did the run game go crazy, but they had the Pittsburgh, because they were able to get the Seahawks, because, Zach, they were able to get the running game going, all of a sudden that opened up the play action, and the Broncos were just susceptible to that. But what's your answer here for Sam?
I said this, Sam, and thank you again, Sam, oh, as always, for your support. I said this last night, that a lot of the old red flags of a VJ defense came out in the second half yesterday. They played inspired ball in the first two quarters, but they also got fatigue. They broke down. They can't be on the field constantly, and when that happens, your run defense goes to crap, Chad. So if they just, you know, get some help from the offense, I do think schematically the Broncos defense should be better. But here's the true test, and I'll say this. I have the same philosophy about my fantasy team. The first week is like a tester week. It's from week two on that you start to see the trends and how things unfold. So what I mean by that is the Seahawks are a really good rushing offense. Kenneth Walker's a really good running back. They have a good O-line. The Steelers' offensive line and the Steelers' backfield is not as good. So if the Broncos still have these problems in week two, then yeah, it's a VJ thing. If not, then it was probably from being fatigued in week one, Chad.
That's one of the silver linings of the Steelers matchup is, you know, perhaps the Seahawks aren't exactly the Kansas City Chiefs offensively, but the Steelers, based on what we saw yesterday, and yeah, that was Fields. I don't expect it to look much better if it ends up being Russ. That's the good news is that doesn't mean you drop your guard. That doesn't mean you sleep on the Steelers if you're the Broncos, but it shouldn't be as dangerous. I don't know what it won't be as vulnerable. I don't think the Broncos will be as vulnerable, but that just really, like you said, depends on how they bounce back. And I got to tell you though, I do agree with Sean Payton on this fact. And I talked about this in the gut reaction episode yesterday. And that is, I was encouraged by the fact that despite the foibles of not only the rookie Zach, but the offense around him, guys dropping balls, running backs lacking vision, offensive line struggling to block both the run and the pass, Bo Nix still gave the Broncos a chance to win that game. Who knows what we might be saying today if you get that. If first of all, if Baron Browning doesn't jump off sides on third and 11, right? And then Riley Moss is able to overcome that rub route and get the tackle short of the sticks. Broncos get the ball back. Who knows? You had a chance to win the game despite how things turned on you in the third quarter and despite the rookie quarterbacks and the offenses struggles overall.
It's a cliche, man, but the NFL really is a game of inches, you know, and it's the smallest little things can determine the course of a game. You just pointed out two of them, Chad, but as bad as the Broncos played, they still went to Seattle, tough test, and they lost by less than the full touchdown. So people are acting like this was 70-20 all over again. That's a little bit hyperbolic to me.
The Papa Bear, as he is known in these parts, David McElrath jumping in. What's up, brother?
Thank you, David.
Good evening, Broncos country. Chad, Zach, Deacon, Scott. First game for our rookie QB, Bo Nix, and I believe in Nix. And Sean Payton will be better. Hashtag 12-5, Buckeye times 3, MHH for life, Denver Broncos for life, SEAL Team Knicks. That's something, too, that Sean Payton doesn't get to this point, Zach, with alacrity. He's a little bit reluctant to kind of get to what I'm about to say, but he finally did somewhat allude to it today in the conference call about some of his play calling and balance issues relative to the run and the pass. And, you know, the fact that, of course, they didn't game plan to go into Seattle and have their rookie quarterback in his first ever start throw up 40 plus times, all that stuff. In his Sean Payton way, he did take some ownership of that. We got to get better. We're going to learn from that, da, 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 on the coaching side. So let's hope that it actually happens.
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember if it happened with Russ in 2022 or like Drew Lock back in the day, but the run pass split, Chad, was ridiculous. They had 42 attempts for Bo Nix versus 25 rushing attempts with their backfield. I mean, for a rookie quarterback in a tough environment, you never want him to drop back 42 times. And I think Sean Payton, in his own way, admitted that, like you talked about.
Hey, guys, got to tell you, super stoked at the response we got yesterday talking about this. Real quick, we're going to get back to the chat, but we got to give a shout out to this new company here in Denver, really excited about, called Fan Day Nation.
That's right, Chad. Fan Day Nation was started by our good friend and Broncos fan, Mike Evans. Fan Day Nation has the most authentic, high-quality Broncos merch you'll find anywhere.
I'm reluctant to even pull it out of the bag, but I'm going to do it. My wife will have to help me figure out how to refold it up, but sorry, forgive the crinkly crackly. But check it out. Officially licensed NFL gear. Okay, it's dope. And as we all know, the season just started. All right, we have the Mile High Huddle meet and greet this coming Sunday in Denver at the stadium. So now is the perfect time to shop and gear up for the game.
Absolutely. Fan Day Nation has t-shirts, hoodies, and jerseys for all your favorite players, whether that's PS2 or Mr. Bo Nix.
Oh, baby. And we'll drop the link in the chat here, okay? But here's the best part. Here is the absolute best part. They're doing a giveaway for a free Bo Nix jersey. You just head over to their site. You fill out the form for a chance to win.
That's right. The giveaway ends on September 15th. So if you want to enter, go to denverfootballfan.com. That's denverfootballfan.com.
I want to get back to the show, okay? But what's particularly cool about this is already they reached out to us. They're like, the response from the MHH community is already off the chain. Guys, this is a bona fide Mike Evans, in case you don't know the story, all right, this is obviously a high-level businessman in Denver, okay? But he came from the MHH Super Chat Superstar community over a year and a half, 2 years of some of the best questions, Super Chat donations to the channel. And then one day I'm like, dude, because Zach, you'll vouch for this, he always had some of the best questions, right, that may put us on the spot. We're like, yeah, good angle. Well, let's think about that. So finally I'm like, Mike, hey, come right at Mile High Huddle. And he's developed into one of the best writers. He just launched this business, Fan Day Nation. Again, we'll drop it, denverfootball.com. Denverfootballfan.com. We'll drop it in the link, but keep smashing it, guys. He's one of our own. All right, back to the chat. Taylor Christensen in the hizzy. What's up, big dog? Rocking his Bo Nix jersey. Says, hey, guys, if this is Nick's lowest point, I'll take it. And it might well be. The Ronk jumping in. Chad and Zach on the MHH pod. Aftermath. Bo leave. God bless Bo Nix. And go Bo Broncos. I love it. Phil down in Tucson. Love you, brother. He says, good evening, Chad, Zach, and Deacon Scott. Sean Payton has his man and will support him no matter what. What happened to Marvin Mims? We traded up for this guy, and I cannot find him on the field except for returns. Buckham, MHH for life, Broncos for life. And why is nobody asking this of Sean? No, he doesn't even get asked. Now, perhaps, Zach, some behind closed doors. I'm just theorizing here. This is not information. This is a theory. Perhaps, Zach, some behind-closed-doors messages have been sent to the local press corps, who, God bless them, are there every day for the pressers. Hey, don't ask us about Mims, please. I doubt it, but maybe. I'm just saying, it's a possibility. how else do you explain not only Zach, his utter disappearance in terms of the offensive game plan, but no one's even asking Sean Payton about this very apt angle, how he postured at Phil here. We traded up for him, can't find him on the field.
There used to be like an old conspiracy theory about second round wide receivers and how they tend to bust higher than, you know, other round wide receivers. A couple, you know, Chad Jackson from the Patriots back in the day, Stephen Hill, if anyone recalls that name from Georgia Tech, he was a second round receiver. He busted, but I never got that feeling with Marvin Mims, because when you watch him at Oklahoma, Chad, he wasn't just a straight line guy. He wasn't just a John Ross. He was a pretty strong receiver who can make catches at the catch point, could go up and make a reception in traffic. He was pretty reliable when I saw him. So I don't know any explanation other than Sean Payton wants his guys on the field, because who got more snaps than Marvin Mims yesterday? Nate Atkins, Lil Jordan Humphrey, Michael Burton. These are all pass catchers that should not be in the pecking order. You traded up a second round pick in a year that you were already short on draft capital for a receiver who doesn't fit your offense, because Sean Payton loves to run a dink and dunk offense. Well, you need to open it up for your rookie quarterback now. And who opens it up best? Marvin Mims. I tweeted his picture on a milk carton today, Chad. That is how bad it is. Get him on the freaking field.
And what's even more mystifying, this is why it all ties back to the doghouse, because hit the first four games of his career last year, Marvin Mims, the dude was involved in the offense. He was he had a focus, Sean Payton did, on making sure Mims got some action, and he produced. If he would have stayed on that pace, he was well on pace for 1,000-plus yard receiving season as a rookie. Then week five happens where he's involved in two fumbles, one of which is not his fault, but he shares complicity, and it wasn't all his fault. Yeah, here you go from Kelberman. Have you seen me missing carton, right? You got Marvin Mims. Where is he gone? You know, unsolved mysteries. Like, let's get him on the case. Let's figure this out. Where's Matlock? You know, where's Columbo? Have you seen Zach Marvin Mims?
The doghouse is the best way to put it, Chad. I don't know what Mims did behind the scenes. It might be his limited offensive opportunities last season that, you know, left a bad taste in Sean Payton's mouth, but you can't just envision him as a returner for the entirety of his career. And I don't know who said it in the comments section. It kind of went up, but he's going to end up like the next Isaiah McKenzie. And by that, I mean, he's going to be mismanaged in Denver. He's going to go on to another, probably more competent offensive staff and be used to his potential. And that's a damn shame. The Broncos have a potential game breaker now on the field. Now put that to good use.
Well, and especially when we're crying over the fact that the playmakers just, there was no, if you're going to live with this horizontal dink and dunk, like we saw for a good chunk of the game plan yesterday, well, by God, those guys who are getting the ball, they better be able to make a guy miss, because if you can't make a guy miss, we saw the end result. Seahawks swallow you up as soon as that ball is secured. Boom, 2-yard gain. I mean, ridiculous. You had, I'm going to pull it up. You had Devon Vele, Zach, with 8 receptions. Was it 8 receptions? Let me double check this. His total yardage, okay? I'm going to pull it up. Here it is. Devon Vele, 8 receptions. He caught all 8 of his targets. God bless him. You'd think at least 60-something yards, I would guess, as a floor. If you have 8 receptions, what we know about Devon Vele as far as his prototype and build, I would think 65 would be the floor, but I'd expect more, something like 80 to 95 yards, if not more. 39 yards, because that's not his game, dude. His game is not, let me catch a 2-yard slant, get tackled. But Marvin Mims is a guy, if he can catch the ball on a 2 or 3 yard slant or an underneath or whatever, it's bubble screen. He's the only guy I see from a pass catching perspective. All right. Receivers, I should say, with a potential propensity anyway, to make a guy miss, pick you up some positive yards, get him involved. Lil Jordan Humphrey, I'm sorry, Zach, you've got Devon Vele, you've got Cortland Sutton, you've got Josh Reynolds. You don't need another 6'4" cat on the field. That was proven yesterday. And look, because that model works so well, then we'll move on here to George. But Zach, because that model works so well for the Seahawks, that's what teams now are going to throw at the Broncos, tell Bo Nix and Sean Payton prove that they can beat it. So how do you, one of your counterpunchers has to be different personnel if that's the kind of game plan you're going to rock.
But then you also have Troy Franklin, who you also traded up for, who was Bo Nix's college receiver, and he's inactive. He's not even dressed for the game, Chad. And then you have Bo Nix going out there. I understand the game script, the environment, all that, but he set two NFL records, dubious records, fewest passing yards with more than 25 completions. He had, how many yards did he have?
He had 138.
138. And he also, the fewest yards per pass attempt, 3.3, with at least 26 passes in a single game. If nothing else, you have to put Mims or Franklin on the field to give the appearance that you're going to throw deep. You don't have to even do it, but give the appearance that you're not going to play in a phone booth and 10 yards short of the six within line of scrimmage.
This is showing you that, yes, while execution shares plenty of, you know, the players on the field yesterday share a lot of complicity in how things turned out. Coaching decisions and coaching game planning and scheming and all that stuff also played a big role. The whole team needs to learn from what happened in Seattle. George, last night I called for VJ's head. I don't feel much better, but I'll give him another chance, but not a lot of rope. We've seen that his defense looked a lot like what his defense looked a lot like last year. Denver Broncos for life, MJ's for life. Hit the thumbs up. Great pod, guys. Thank you, buddy. I'm not as down on VJ for what it's worth. Cody's saying here they are that they had our wide receivers covered like flies on crap. We need speed. Teams are going to just keep on 8 to 9 on the line until we can prove we can beat them over the top. Yes. And, you know, Bo Nix did have a few vertical throws, not like deep bombs, but a few vertical throws. And unfortunately, with the exception, Zach, of a couple of back shoulders, though it was either a combination of that, those were his misfires, and or that's when his receivers dropped passes.
I want to touch on VJ for a second as the resident hater of this podcast, Chad. You know, I've already excused him, the rushing defense, how they fell off yesterday, but, you know how they say when you've seen a movie before, you know how it ends. Well, this might be a different movie, but it's part of the same, you know, anthology. So if you've seen Hangover 1, you know how Hangover 1 ends. If you saw Hangover 2, you know how it ends. This is a different movie, but it's the same VJ defense. No halftime adjustments, Chad. He never counters or has another plan of attack when the opposing team adjusts. They come out flat, and there's never any killer instinct, whether on third down or the fourth quarter. You can blame the offense all you want for how they broke down in the second half yesterday, but I would wager to bet that it won't be the last time they have a second half collapse. It's just who VJ is, unfortunately.
Here's the counterpunch. According to Sean Payton, here's how the Seahawks managed to counterpunch coming out of halftime. Quote, this was today. Seattle came out with a lot more tempo in the third. They hit a couple of runs. They kind of had us reeling a little bit with their play mix, run, play pass. Then they made a few plays. I would say that third quarter was, by all accounts, probably at least two-thirds at the line, meaning that's where the fate of a play was. There's a shift, maybe a check. I'm sure they looked at halftime of just trying to create more tempo because they were struggling in the first half, and they were. That whole first half was lived on the Seahawks side of the field. Sean Payton's not wrong about that. But, okay, they come in, they counter you with tempo, right? And it kind of threw the Broncos off. Where's your counter? Where is your counter punch, et cetera?
But, you know, the critics of Sean Payton point to the fact that he's the common denominator, that the offense looks the same with Russell Wilson and now Bo Nix. The same can apply to VJ, Chad. He got an excuse last season because the personnel wasn't good enough. The defensive line was lacking. Well, they beefed up the personnel. They beefed up the D-line. They beefed up the backers. And guess what? Kenneth Walker still went over 100 yards yesterday, and they look like trash. Sorry for my bluntness in the second half. At some point, you have to realize it's a schematic problem and a VJ problem.
There are a lot of different ways these Denver Broncos have to show us that they can bounce back. But I will concur on this, Jeremy Sean saying, hey, Bo completed a ton of passes over the middle. Because string guys ask him, did you watch the tape? There were some positives. He completed a ton of passes, pardon me, while under pressure, which is true. And as you mentioned, the dubious distinctions of his NFL debut, a lot of that, here's the unfortunate aspect of it, Zach. Did it play to the Bo Nix stereotypes pre-draft? Yes, played perfectly to the Bo Nix stereotypes. But did you see how Seattle was scheming up the Broncos? And did you see how well they were executing that scheme? That's why I'm not jumping to conclusions quite yet. And the times that the Broncos tried to bust them and do something that could maybe put the Seahawks on their heels a little defensively and maybe force Mike McDonald to go, okay, well, let's try this. They just couldn't make those ones work till the very end, right? Till the Seahawks said, all right, we're going to – wasn't exactly prevent defense, but you know what I mean. We're going to let you have the underneath. We're going to let you move the ball a little. We just got to do the best we can not to let you score and take as much time off the clock as possible while you're doing it. But still, let's not have that get lost in the shuffle. Amidst those dubious distinctions, and they are what they are, there's no getting around. That's the facts. But Seahawks played, like I said, the aftermath and having slept on it does not diminish in my eyes, Zach, how perfect that storm was defensively. The Seahawks played freaking, I almost cursed, phenomenal ball, both from the scheme perspective, how they game planned it, how they schemed in game, and then how it was executed. Complete smothering of Bo Nix and Sean Payton.
Well, Jeremy's, I think, stretching for a positive here. I get it. He looks decent under pressure, but it's not a positive that he was constantly under pressure. Why was the offensive line so bad compared to last season? Garrett Bowles is your highest cap guy on your team. You gave mega contracts to McGlinchey, Ben Powers, and Quinn Miners. You're confident in Luke Wattenberg, apparently. Why was he under pressure? What is up with the scheme? Is it a Sean Payton thing? I have to be fair, Chad. If I question whether it's a VJ thing on defense, I have to question whether it's a Sean Payton thing on offense.
Yeah, I mean, the questions are there. I'm not ready to throw out any definitive answers on it yet, and I won't be for a few weeks, to be frank with you. Even if this coming game, and I don't expect it to, we've got the MHH meet and greet juju working for us on this, all right? Again, I'll remind everybody, Broncos are undefeated when MHH meet and greet is in full of force, all right, in attendance. So I'm hoping a little bit of that magic is going to wear off. But, Zach, even if it doesn't, and let's say the Broncos drop game two to the Steelers and they're 0-2, I'm still not going to be freaking out and panicking and coming to all these conclusions because it's still just week two, and this is a rookie quarterback. It's brand new. I mean, this is basically, guys, a brand new team. All your leaders from last year are gone. That includes Russ. That includes Simmons. That includes Josie. That includes Kareem. A slight shuffling on the O-line with no Lloyd Cushenberry. That's an adjustment with Wattenberg. You've got a brand new quarterback. Not only is it a new quarterback, Zach, that Sean Payton has to acclimate to, but he's a rookie. He's got to acclimate to the league. The defense is different. And I think that what you saw from the defense run-wise, Zach, in the first half is, honestly, because of the changes they made to the D-line, I think that's more of what you're going to see. You're going to see more of a competent run defense. It's just that when the Seahawks changed things up and came with their little tempo thing and the way they moved and counterpunched, Vance Joseph was too slow with his to counter that counter.
Shocker. Yeah, I think he used the best word there when it comes to the Payton-Bo Nix dynamic is acclimate. Something I found really peculiar, Chad, is Sean Payton wasn't calling plays to Bo Nix in the preseason. It was Davis Webb doing that, I think, for the first two games anyway. So they're still figuring each other out, but it might sing a little less if they lose in week two, which they really could. Pittsburgh's defense single-handedly won them the game yesterday, but Russell Wilson might not start. So if you lose to the Pittsburgh defense, that's not as bad as losing to Russell Wilson at home and the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. Moral victories.
Cody Dubb jumping in again. Thank you, bro. He says, I did see Bo down by 13, not give up. With 4 minutes to go, he kept going. Got us back into the game using his legs. That's a plus. It's absolutely a plus. And that was something I hammered on significantly yesterday. That was obviously impressive to Sean Payton. He talked about it post-game. He talked about it again today. What are you guys talking about? Bo's the one who gave us a chance to win the game. Maybe being a little bit of a salesman there, Zach, in terms of like how you're glossing over that some of the reasons that you were in a two-score hole in the fourth quarter was first half lackluster quarterback play. And yeah, he didn't get a great response from everybody around him. No one on the offense, Zach, in the first half or in the third quarter, could you even remotely argue was playing inspired football? That needs to change. And look at the difference. Seahawks, dude, they were fired up for their young head coach. That defense was like, yo, we're here for you, captain. Oh, captain. My captain, oh, captain, let's go. We're going to smother these cats. And then in the second half, that the offense too. They're like, yo, us too. We're here. So where is that kind of a response? I think it's going to be a little hit and miss as the season matriculates because, Zach, you reset the entire leadership structure on the personnel side. And that's just nature, dude. Nature has to take its course. These young guys have to learn how to lead. Like I talked about yesterday, Pat Surtain. Yeah, thank God that play got called back, the second Kenneth Walker touchdown. But, dude, finish that play. Try to make the tackle. Try to make a play on that ball. Cortland Sutton, quit trying to whine on getting a flag and the ball is put on your hip. If you're focused on the catch, lead by example. You cannot, as a leader, Zach, ask someone to do what you yourself are unwilling to do. You can ask. You're just not going to get the response that you're hoping for if that person who you are leading, okay, doesn't see that same sellout from you. If you haven't sold out completely, if you're not invested and bought in that same way and you ask someone to go do that, that's what you're going to get. It's called mixed messages. So listen, Pat Surtain, you shut down DK Metcalf. Hats off. Great job, dude. But you did not completely answer the call from a leadership side. And the same goes to Cortland Sutton, except you also didn't answer the bell from an execution side. So these young leaders, Zach, I promise you I'm not rambling. This is me summing it up. These young leaders, guys, there's going to be weeks where we're scratching our heads and we're going, what the Sam Hill? But this is how they have to learn. This is how they learn to be leaders, because a lot of these things are going to be brought up to them by their coaches in the film room. Hey, Surtain, you think PJ Locke is going to not try and make a play on that goal line, dude? We're talking about a possible touchdown. Yeah, he's got you 70-30. He's scoring that, but give it a shot. Maybe you punch the ball out and it's a touchback. Why'd you give up on the play? End of sermon.
No rambling. Very well said. And Cody, it was good to see Bo Nix hit. I think it was like 20 plus miles an hour on that touchdown scramble. So he was one of the fastest players in week one. Something to take home, I guess, after that game. But this is a moral victory. This whole comment here, nothing against you that I can't get on board with. No one except for maybe Paxton Lynch would give up during a game. I mean, Bo Nix is in the NFL. He's making millions. He understands what's on the line. He wasn't ever going to give up. So I'm not going to credit him for doing the bare minimum that any other NFL player does. If we want to talk about his scrambling ability, that's a plus. And I feel like that's something, Chad, they can build on going forward, is getting him outside the pocket and more RPOs and design runs that we saw in the preseason that were just mysteriously vanished in Seattle.
Yeah, absolutely true. Cody, thank you, buddy. And by the way, guys, as we mentioned earlier, if you do go to denverfootballfan.com and purchase something, sign up, etc., you will be put automatically into that drawing that they're doing for a Bo Nix jersey. But here at MHH, they sent us this jersey, and it's getting raffled off at the end of this week. And the raffle is going only to people who threw down on stars, threw down on super chats this week. So if you want a chance for that, potentially have your hat in the ring for a Bo Nix jersey that we're going to raffle off later this week, courtesy of Fan Day Nation. That's what it takes to have your hat in the ring. Okay. Only those throwing down yesterday. So Sunday, Monday and Thursday. And then we'll do the tally and do the raffle, but that's who the pool of contestants will be in that raffle. So appreciate you guys. And so far tonight, anyway, it was a long list yesterday, Zach. There's a lot of people entered into the list yesterday. It was like over 50 individuals. Today we're talking Sam Bam, David McElrath, Taylor Christensen, The Ronk, Phil McLaughlin, George Fox, Cody Dubb. So those are the contestants today, and we appreciate each and every one of you. But Zach, I want to grab this here from our buddy Jeremy, and I'm sure, hopefully, anyway, we're going to see Jeremy on Sunday. Looking forward to it, big dog. Our lack of dynamic playmakers showed up yesterday. Luckily, we have a lot of money to spend next year. So two parts on this. One, Zach, that was one of the big national tropes that really ruffled our feathers during the offseason, was that the Broncos offensively hey, Bo Nix, set that aside for a minute. Offensively, from a playmaker perspective, devoid of difference-making playmakers. And we're like, well, you know, maybe it's not as ideal as you'd like it to be, but they're not exactly busters, okay? These aren't exactly busters. And yet, just like the pre-draft tropes on Bo Nix, his first game, he kind of lived up to a lot of those tropes. Like, people are feeling, they're walking around like this going, I got the Bo Nix thing right as of week one, and the same guys that were talking about playmakers, Zach, they're saying the same thing. This is the cost, in part anyway, of how much money do we have dead this year alone? It's a total of this season. Hold on. Oh, I don't have the total in front of me, but I mean, it's north of $59 million of dead money. Could you imagine what that could have bought you if you didn't have that much just in terms of personnel?
It's also the result of giving up draft capital, you know, first round pick after first round pick, second round pick, and not giving yourself anything in the war chest. And Jeremy, you're right here at a point I made multiple times yesterday. I still feel that way a day later. I not necessarily a receiver. It'd be nice to have a Brandon Ayuk, for example, or a Deebo Samuel, but I would much prefer a McCaffrey or a Jahmyr Gibbs or a Bijan Robinson in the backfield. Just a guy that can impose fear in a defense.
There's your figure, $77 million in dead money. Now, we knew $85 million was going to be split over 2 years just on Russ, and the Broncos took 50-some-odd of that in year one. So, yes, there will be more money to spend next year. That's the plus side, but that's then, man. We're here in the now, and the Broncos still have a chance to make something, obviously, of this season, Zach. I'm not ready to start going, all right, well, let's cast our gaze into 2025 and – you know, hope for the best and see what we can do in the draft and, you know, spending and free agency. I'm not there yet, dude. Like, I'm sorry. I'm not ready to give up on the season, although I know how everyone's feeling and I understand it. I tweeted about it today. I get why Broncos country is feeling the way that it is. Here we go again, the trauma, same result, different players, but it's the same result. I get that, but just hang tight a little bit longer. Darius Simmons, what's up, big dog? Thank you for the super chat, my friend. He says, Sean Payton will adjust. Bo will get better. Everyone needs to chill. You and I, we're sharing a brain on that, Darius. We're sharing a brain, the three of us here. Hashtag Broncos Country. See y'all Sunday. Dope. Dope. Can't wait to meet you, big dog.
Yeah, Darius, thank you, and I agree. To your point, last point, Chad, like we spent the last 6 months or so talking about free agency and team building, the draft, the offseason. This is the season now. It's week one, and I'm like you and Darius. I'm not ready to, you know, throw it all away. Throw the baby out with the bathwater, as the expression goes.
That's an apt application of the saying, and a lot of Broncos fans are doing that. They're saying, hey, let's drain the tub, and we don't care if the baby goes down the drain with it. You know, we're not there yet, guys. We're not there yet, okay? Okay, we're at 36 minutes. We're doing pretty good. We're doing pretty good. But, Zach, here is what Sean Payton said today on the conference call relative to Garrett Bowles, and you had the article. He was a little bit ornery, as he is, especially on the subject of injuries. Hey, Coach, can you give us an update on Garrett Bowles? How about this is Coach, quote, how about this being the first Monday morning presser where we'll discuss an injury, but then we're never going to discuss it again. All the x-rays were negative. Good news there. MRIs were negative. Obviously, there is a contusion. That's what I know. And that's a positive, close quote. So there's Sean Payton, the magnanimous one that he is, doesn't like talking about injuries. And he gets pissed because he thinks you should just automatically know he doesn't like it. And because... yeah. You know he doesn't like it, just never ask him. But it's like, hey, dude, that's our job, is to ask those questions. How you choose to answer it, that's up to you as a head coach in the National Football League. But you don't have to be a meanie. You don't have to be a jerk about it. But what have you heard about Garrett Bowles, aside from what Payton said?
You know, as much as he makes our jobs more difficult with his lack of communication with the media, chat, he makes me laugh, I have to admit. You know, he was asked yesterday, he explained that he has to be better. And he was asked why he has to be better, and he gave like a sentence explanation and goes, that's why. I just love how ornery he can be. But Garrett Bowles should be fine. He talked about it after the game too. It sounds like a minor ankle bruise, and Garrett Bowles is one of the tougher players on the team. So I would anticipate he plays Sunday against the Steelers, and they need him to play Sunday against the Steelers because Matt Parrott is not an adequate replacement.
Still trips me out. Matt Parrott. Matt Parrott, not Pert, Parrott. Yeah, man, I'm having flashbacks. We're talking about this. I'm touching wood as I say this. Well, I'll put a pin in it first. Phil, if Jonathan Cooper, who had two sacks yesterday, keeps playing like he did, Browning may be the guy gone. And you're 100% right. Another thing Zach and I talked about privately is, hey, we were saying if Browning could just stay healthy, he's giving you double-digit sacks this year. And maybe that's still true. I mean, he did make one of the biggest highlights, even though it wasn't, in my opinion, that great of a thing, but where he got flipped upside down by Walker, and then he reversed whatever, tackled him upside down, whatever. You know the wrestling terms. I don't know the wrestling terms, but that was pretty cool. He's been going around on the highlight reels for that, but Cooper was the one giving you the production, and Browning jumped in the clutch, dude. You cost, because look, that rubber out that succeeded on the final third down, Zach, where Riley Moss got caught and Tyler Lockett moved the chains. If that was a third and 11, like it should have been, he gets tackled short of the sticks and it's a punt. You can thank Baron Browning for that conversion, really. I mean, it was Browning that put Cooper in that sitch.
This is another too soon comment, Phil. I agree that they're going to probably have to choose between one outside linebacker instead of get paid pretty big in the NFL. But let's see how the season plays out over the next 16 remaining games. Browning's always been the higher ceiling guy. Cooper's always been the high floor guy. If Cooper can raise his floor and you know, maximize his ceiling, the better for the Broncos. He's a really solid player, though, Chad. He's won me over. I wasn't the biggest fan of him. Seventh round pick, hard issue, but he's a pretty rock solid guy to have on defense.
The thing is, with actual sacks, and I haven't seen the numbers yet today. I had an unusual day for me as far as the day after a game, which is atypical. So I haven't had as much time as I will normally have on the day after, but sack to examine some of the advanced analytics and whatnot, pressures and all that. But, you know, look at the greats like Von Miller, for example, DeMarcus Ware, known quantities. Broncos fans don't have to go too far back to recall. Their sacks would come in bunches, but they were consistently impacting the game with pressures and plays, and whether it was as pass rushers, Zach, or as run defenders, they were consistent. But the actual sack production and those skins, being able to hang them up on the wall, it would come in bunches. You'd have a game or two, kind of a dry spell, followed by two and two and three. You're going, whoa, Von Miller's already at like eight sacks this year. Dope. And so I want to see a little bit more of that from Baron Browning, though. You know, not so much space in between those bunches. And that'll be a key. But Jonathan Cooper, he stays up at this pace, dude's going to have a productive contract year. He's fixing to make some bank.
I think some of it will be dependent upon Jonah Ellis and how much he progresses as a rookie, Chad. If he goes into year two, prime to be a starter, they can feel more comfortable letting Cooper or Browning walk.
Cody Dub with another super chat.
Baller. Thank you, Cody.
Thank you, bro. Helping us keep the lights on here at MHH. He says, we need a Talib attitude somewhere on this defense. I think the guys who give you the closest that you're going to get to that, we'll call it a facsimile, okay? It's not the real thing. It's a fax. Is John Franklin Myers, PJ Locke on the back end. If you piss him off, and generally speaking, he kind of plays pissed a little bit. Not Kareem pissed, but you know what I'm saying. And Zach Allen, too. Someone needs to step on Zach Allen's toe on game day, like in the locker room, just kind of walk by. Oops. Oh, sorry, Zach. Get him pissed off and then let him go be a jerk on the field, because he's just such a nice guy. But when he's playing with his blood up a little bit, Zach, he can be beast mode.
Yeah, Malcolm Roach, too. He kind of gives me Derek Wolfe vibes with his mouth and the way he runs it. But Cody's right here. You have to have that dog mentality that the Broncos arguably haven't had since Aqib Talib. And remember when Aqib called out John Elway for the lack of, keeps firing all the dogs? That was the old story he wrote back in the day, Chad. Yep. But they tend to, the defense or an offense, we've talked about it before, they take on the complexity, complexion, personality of their coach. And if you see VJ on the sideline, very passive. He's not getting in people's faces. He's not going off, hooting and hollering. He's not very animated like Dan Quinn, for example. He's kind of just there. So when the Broncos players are there on the field, they're just following their coach.
I did notice, though, yesterday when Moss got – well, they were on the sideline. The camera had a nice angle on Sean Payton and VJ, who were standing near each other on that final Seahawks sequence. And when Baron Browning got caught slipping, jumped off sides, gave him five free yards, VJ was like, oh, you know, you could see the reaction, and Sean Payton's like, then when Moss gave up the pass, and that was that, also cuts to VJ, and he's just like, You can see he's like, that's like, honestly, dude, the most emotion I've seen out of VJ, like maybe ever, dude.
Yeah.
Ever. Like there's times you're going, when he is at the podium, you're going, yo, doc,
check his pulse,
heart rate right now.
Yeah.
Hey bro,
yeah,
you want some like coffee, like or something. But anyway, Cody, yeah, we need that Tlaib attitude. And again, this is one of those things, guys, where you kind of just, because they did such a reset at the leadership level, you kind of just have to let nature take its course and see who the dogs are that rise to carry the water. That's the only way it's going to happen. You can try as a team, Zach, to strong arm it by naming the team captains and just hoping to God that they're going to be those guys. I don't think Pat Surtain's ever going to be that guy, to be frank. Just let him be Champ Bailey on the sideline, shutting down wide receivers. Let him just do that. Don't ask him to be something that he's not. Okay, honorary captain, you're putting the C on his chest, but you're not really expecting him to lead. And I just don't, I just don't think that's his personality from what I see from him. You know what I'm saying? Like, PJ Locke could be a leader. On that subject, what did you think of the new safety, Zach? Brandon Jones coming in yesterday.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about PJ Locke getting juked by Geno Smith.
I had Darnold,
yeah,
traumas coming through the pores.
Oh man, that was bad. Yeah. Brandon Jones, I want to echo what Sean Payton said today. He looked like a guy who's still shaking off the rust coming back from injury. A very heady player and knows the playbook, but physically and football conditioning wise, is still a little rusty. I think he'll be okay as the weeks go on, Chad.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. There are times I'm going, yo, who's that number? Oh, yeah, I almost forgot that dude was even on the team. Not really, but he was so just not a part of the equation this summer that I was like, yeah, half forgot who he even was. But clearly some things to clean up. Those safeties, once Seattle really started having some success on the ground, they were biting on play action, something fierce. So, like, it's one of those things that you just have to give them the experience, dude. You got to give them that live bullet experience and reps and just hope that the time on task, that they win more than they lose as far as individual matchups, individual players, and whatnot. Ron, thank you, buddy, saying, great show tonight, Chad and Zach, on the Mile High Huddle podcast. Aftermath episode, Bo Leave, God bless Bo Nix, and go Bo Broncos. Thank you, big dog. I think everyone needs that positivity. And even if you're not feeling it, try to cling to it, because it just doesn't make sense to give up on a season with how many games left to go, Zach? 16. You still have a 2016 season of games left to be played, believe it or not. You still have 16 regular season games. Don't give up yet. Sean Payton's never lost more than 7 games. By the way, don't give up yet.
Plus 70-20 last year, the Jets lost being the lowest point. And look, later in the season, the Broncos did rally. They were in the contention for a wild card spot. So Chad's right here, guys. Long season ahead. Disappointing result in week one, but that's why we turn the page now and focus on week two.
I meant to say has never had less than 7 wins, which is why those, you know, 5.5 over under. Right now, all of the preseason shade, all the offseason shade and the dubious skeptical takes on what the Broncos may or may not be able to do in 2024. Right now, everybody's feeling like the Bruce Dickinson sketch, more cowbell, right? On Saturday Night Live, you guys remember that? And Christopher Walken, everybody's feeling like, I'm the cock of the walk, baby. That's how they're feeling on their Bo Nix predictions, Zach. That's how they're feeling on their Broncos predictions. That's how they're feeling on, you know, playmaker predictions. And do we have a Tlaib on defense? Everybody's feeling like that. But that's why such a thing is called hubris exists, right? But it only becomes hubris, Zach, to quote Julius Caesar, when you fail. So the Broncos got to go out and prove these cats wrong. Then it's proven as hubris. And then they got to eat their crow, Zach.
Yeah, I mean, you're quoting Caesar. I'll quote Sam Hinkie, the old 76ers boss. Trust the process. It's never going to be perfectly easy, never going to be perfectly painless. It's part of the process, is learning and growing and getting through the bumpy times. Have faith. Better times are ahead.
Okay, I want to see. We're about out of time, guys. I'm just checking to see from Peyton's comments today if there's anything topically we haven't gotten to that I wanted to. I don't think so. Shortly after this podcast ends, the MHH grades, player grades from week one, will be dropping courtesy of Eric Trickle. So watch for that. a much more fair, reasonable, and insightful grade on these players than you will ever get trying to understand a PFF grade. Trust on that. Scott was lamenting the PFF grades. In fact, right before we went live, going, Patrick Surtain, what do you get, like a 40-something from PFF, Scott? Shuts down DK, he gets like a 40-something grade from PFF. You're going, really? What game did you watch, you guys? But Trickle's grades will be published by about 7:30 local time tonight, so watch for that. And we got a few messages, though, before we dip.
Another, I can't believe it's been almost 50 minutes. Tremendous episode, as always, guys, of the Mile High Huddle podcast. If you're not doing so, as it says right there, or you can hear the sound of my voice, please follow us at the MHH pod. You can follow the main account on Twitter at Mile High Huddle, Chad at Chad and Jensen, myself at Kelberman NFL, and Scott, our producer, at Scout Kennedy. If you guys want some merch like we're rocking each and every single podcast, check out mhhmerch.com and get you some. If you haven't done so yet, drop us a like at facebook.com/milehighhuddlepod. You can find us on Instagram at mile_high_huddle. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, make sure you're leaving your Football Priest a 5-star review for a chance to win some merch each and every single month. But if anything, y'all, please, please, please subscribe, like, and share this video and every video you see on the MHH channel. It really helps us grow and reach more Broncos fans just like you.
We need those likes, baby. We need those likes. Drop them on the video right now, pretty please. We need you. We need you. A Mile High salute to the great Super Chat superstars and supporters tonight, again, helping us keep this show a-flowing. Sam Bam, the Papa Bear, David McElrath, Taylor Christensen, The Ronk, Phil down in Tucson, George Fox, Cody Dubb multiple times, Phil multiple times, by the way, Darius, good to see you, big dog, stoked for Sunday, The Ronk multiple times, so appreciate you guys, much love and respect. Zach and I, we're off till Thursday, so have a good Tuesday, have a good Wednesday, have a good start to your Thursday, and then we'll be back that night.
Yes, sir. We will see you Thursday night. Take care. And as always, go Broncos.
Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
This is a story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for University Housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over 1 million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.